did you know that the Humble Barcode turned 43 years old this week?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And here's a little trivia for you. The first ever barcoded product was a packet of Juicy Fruit chewing gum. It was scanned in the US state of Ohio back in 1974, and then it sold for 67 cents. Now, I think it's safe to say that barcode, don't really pay that much attention to the black and white bars with the numbers under them until we go to the self-service checkout, of course, and hope for the beep. But have you ever wondered how those barcodes actually work, whether the width of the lines means anything or what the numbers do at the bottom? Well, one person who has all the answers for us to help celebrate the barcode's 43rd birthday is Richard Jones. He's the head of marketing and training solutions from GS1 Australia, the organisation that administers barcodes in Australia and acts as the standards body for barcodes here. Thanks for your time this afternoon, Richard.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Now, when did barcodes reach Australia?
We were formed to look after the system in 1979, but the first barcode wasn't really scanned in Australia till around 1982, we believe.
And do we know what the first barcoded product was?
It was a laundry detergent of some sort, but unfortunately nobody thought to keep a record at the time.
That's pretty good for the ABC, though. We don't like brand names here. So that's fabulous
right.
for us. That's
I won't
great.
Mention the brand name, so, some, I don't know it.
Some sort of laundry detergent. Okay. So barcodes, how do they work? Do the number of lines and the width of the lines mean anything?
Yes, they do. So an infrared beam is sent out of the scanning device, and that hits the substrate or the paper or whatever the barcode is printed on and reflects light back into the device where it's captured. Now, it reflects in the white spaces and the light gets absorbed in the bars. So they're really a space code rather than a barcode. So we read the spaces and the spaces, the width of those spaces compared with the spaces next to them and with the bars gives us a read that is then converted into numbers.
And that is what, an identifying code that identifies the product?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So that's the main thing that we do is we allocate those identifying codes and we issue them to manufacturers and brand owners around the country to ensure that every product has a totally unique number, not just within Australia, but globally. So we can ship product around the world and it'll scan at any retail outlet.
So each barcode's unique?
Each barcode on a product. So the same product will carry the same barcode. A packet of cornflakes, 500 gram, would have the same number as any other packet of cornflakes by that same brand. But if you look at, the 750 gram pack, that would have a slightly different number.
So how is it that price can vary on a barcode on the same product?
Well, it shouldn't within the same store.
No, in a different store, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what happens is that the retailers then match that number on the barcode to the price that they're selling it at the checkout that day, and when the barcode is scanned, it goes and looks up that database and comes back with the price.
Now, are there rules around barcodes? Can they be different sizes or colours?
Yeah, there are plenty of rules, and that's a big part of what we do is working with the manufacturers to ensure they get those things right. But size, width of the barcode, the height of the barcode is all, there are minimum and maximum sizes. Colour is an important thing. Red barcodes don't scan, yellow barcodes don't scan, but we do see them from time to time. So we work with those manufacturers. We test about 70,000 barcodes a year to make sure that when the consumer gets to the checkout, you get that little beep. Because there's nothing more depressing than a price check from aisle 7.
Yes. I'm talking, actually, I used to work in a store. I was the price check person that used to run from one end of the store to the other. Richard Jones is here.
Yeah, we're trying to put you out of business doing that. That's not ideal.
Probably doing a good job too. Richard's the head of marketing and training solutions at GS1 Australia, the organisation that administers barcodes in Australia. Why are we talking about barcodes? Well, because they turned 43 this week. Richard, I've got a text in from a listener. I've been wondering for years why the number of barcodes is infinite.
Well, it's not quite infinite. We have as many as we think we'll need for many years to come to cover all of the products that we want to identify. Not just in grocery, that's where we see the most, but a whole host of other industries are now realising the need for unique identification of products to support online retailing, healthcare, to make sure that you don't give the wrong product or pharmaceutical to the wrong patient, etc. In raw numbers, we've got about a trillion numbers available. The way that we allocate them limits that to some degree, but yeah, we've got plenty of numbers, but unfortunately it's not limitless.
So if anyone wants a barcode, can anybody get one?
Anybody can get one, yes. We license them to organisations on an annual fee, and the fee is based mostly on the size of your organisation. So a mum and dad company with one or two products in a few local stores will be able to get barcodes and access to them for a lot less than a multinational who's got hundreds of products.
So what's the price difference? So if you say, for instance, a mum and dad compared to a multinational, what's the cost?
Well, it varies and depending on a number of things, but you're talking a few hundred dollars a year for a mum and dad as opposed to thousands of dollars per year for a multinational company.
Now, are they evolving? I mean, we have sort of online stores now with no checkouts, the price of the product's just, you know, deducted from an account somewhere in the cloud.
Well, you've still got to identify the product. So the barcode is still the cheapest and most effective way we have of recording what product has moved out of across a checkout or at a point of sale that we have today. But there are a lot of technologies being talked about. 10 years ago, there was a lot of hype around radio frequency identification, RFID, where you have a little chip on the product. But that wasn't really a cost-effective solution. There are other technologies that are being developed now around looking at the product itself and trying to do some sort of product recognition using multiple cameras and so forth. So there are trials on that. But fundamentally, the main benefit is that unique identifier, the basic number that you see on the bottom of the barcode. That's really where the strength of the system is. And we're talking to online retailers. We're talking with a whole range of other sectors who are just coming to grips themselves with the need for that unique identification that the grocers have had for 43 years.
So we might well celebrate the barcode's 100th birthday at some point.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
we'll keep you in a job then, Richard.
Exactly.
No retirement for you.
No.
Thanks very much.
Keep doing the barcodes.
Thanks for your time this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
Richard Jones, the Head of Marketing and Training Solutions at GS1 Australia. It's the 43rd birthday of the barcode this week.